This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 22, 2017. The 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Whose likeness is this? The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Everything that our Lord Jesus Christ does in this world, during his earthly ministry, everything that he teaches, everything that he does, proves who he is, being God. And everything that he does is done to reorient us toward God. After the fall in the garden, we are disoriented. We are separated from God by sin. The separation leaves us as those who grope around in absolute darkness. We can't find anything. We need to be spiritually reoriented. And our Lord Jesus Christ does that. He does that when he answers this question that is posed to him by the Pharisees. So the Pharisees brought their disciples and the Herodians, but this is a Pharisaical question. This is something that they have formulated. And remember who the Pharisees are. These are the religious leaders of the day. These are the godly people. That's why they don't like Jesus, because he's bucking the system as far as their human religion goes. And, you know, we need to get him some way. Let's ask him a question that could get him really jammed up. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Coming from people that are supposed to be holy and God-centered is kind of an interesting question, because it has nothing to do with God. They've tried to trip our Lord up theologically and they can't do it. So what do they do here? They come up with this completely secular question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, you know, this Holy Spirit tells us that the motive for that question is to, and I quote, how to entangle him in his talk, our Lord Jesus. They want to trip him up. They are not apparently all that bright. They pose him a yes or no question, but they leave themselves open to his response that is not a yes or no answer. People that are smart pose people questions that are yes or no answers. This is a Pharisaical dubia, and it falls short. They want to entangle Jesus in his talk, and they bring with them, the Pharisees, bring with them the Herodians. Interesting bedfellows. They hate one another. They despise one another. The Pharisees hate the Herodians. The Pharisees are the religious people. The Herodians are the secular people who love the Romans. The Romans disdain the Pharisees. They could care less what the Pharisees think. They could care less what the Pharisees want. But the Herodians are their buddies. They're their little do-boys around Israel. So the Pharisees pull along their enemies, the Herodians. Why? Because if they can trip Jesus up in this question about paying taxes, his answer, if it is, don't pay taxes to Caesar, is an act of rebellion. And if the Pharisees would go running to the Romans and say, oh, Jesus says don't pay taxes, you're like, we got nothing for you anyway. They probably wouldn't even entertain an audience with them. But the Herodians, they will listen to. The Herodians, as I say, are their supporters. So if the Herodians go back and say, Jesus of Nazareth says, don't pay taxes, it's an act of rebellion, there would immediately be Roman soldiers taking Jesus and doing whatever. They try to entangle him in this question. The answer that he puts to them reorients them, particularly the Pharisees. I like this one. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Christian and charitable and being charitable. What is his first thing that he says to them? Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Can you imagine if I answered somebody like that? Somebody, the bishop's phone would be ringing and I'd be, what's wrong with you? Jesus Christ says, why put you me to the test, you hypocrites? Christ corrects them immediately by reformulating the question. He will not give them the yes or no answer because it's not been asked where you can give a yes or no answer. Jesus reorients them. He corrects them by opening the vista as to, you're asking me a question about Caesar's due. Let me tell you about giving people their due. His answer is not political. I've heard a whole lot of homilies and sermons on the political aspects of this. Well, Jesus is telling us that there's the sphere of the secular government and there's the sphere of the church. And you do in the governmental sphere that which is for the government. And you, that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He does not put a division between government and church. He talks about giving people their due. He does not talk about paying taxes to the government and your tithe to the church. That's the one I hear most frequently. Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and render unto that God which is God's. Take a little bit of what you have and pay your taxes, and take a little bit of what you have and give tithes to the church. That is not at all what Jesus Christ says in his answer. When he talks about rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and rendering that which is to God which is God's, he centers it on rights. What are Caesar's rights and what are God's rights? And there's something that he says that seems to elude a whole lot of people that comment on this. Because his answer is not centered on giving Caesar his stuff and God his stuff. His answer is centered on a word. Whose image? Bring me a coin. Whose image is on it? Depending on the version you read, whose image, whose likeness? Doesn't make any difference. Whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Give Caesar his coin back. But render unto God that which is God's. Well, okay, he talked about image with Caesar, but what does that mean for us when it comes to God? It has to do with image. The rights to something are incumbent on whose image is impressed upon it. Caesar's image is on a piece of metal, a little tiny piece of metal that is worth something because Caesar, by his fiat, has said it's worth something. His image is on it de facto. When Jesus Christ says, whose image is on it? And then he says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar and that which to God, which is God's. He wants us to think about image. Now, for the Herodians, they're not going to get this. They're like, what? Well, he didn't say not to pay taxes, so I guess we're good. The Pharisees, it's a whole different ballgame. Because the Pharisees, as skewed as their understanding of religion might be, they know the scriptures. And when Jesus says, whose image is on that coin? And then he says, render to God that which is God's. Their minds are, he pointed out image. What do we know about image? What we know about image as God's people as gleaned from Genesis chapter 1. They are the bookends of our creation as human beings. Before we're created and after we're created. Genesis chapter 1 says, as God contemplates the creation of man, let us make man in our own image. And after he creates them, he says that I have created them in my own image, in the image of God, I have created them. a coin has Caesar's image on it. Human beings, all human beings, have God's image on them. By mere fact that they're taking in air, they have God's image impressed upon them. Every human being that has ever, is living, or ever will live on the face of this planet has God's image impressed upon them. So Jesus Christ's message here, his answer, this reorientation is give him back his piece of metal, but give God what he has a right to, and that's you. Because his image is on you, whether you like it or not. Because you take in air, you bear God's image. Everyone bears God's image. I point out regularly that the Lord's Prayer, when the apostles ask, how do we pray? Our Lord Jesus Christ does not start the prayer out, O God, most high and beneficent, omnipotent, omniscient, reigner over all things. He doesn't start it like that. He starts it out, our Father. Because we are all, in a created sense, children of God, which puts us all on notice that we all owe God something. Whether we want to think we do or not is not an issue. Because you bear his image, you owe him. He has a right. The Roman Catechism says, speaking of this image of God, says that as in placing God's image upon us, I quote, it's a favor that he accorded no other living creature. In view of this unique privilege with which he honored man, God is the Father of all men, not only of the faithful, but also of the unbelieving. The mere fact that you can not believe, the mere fact that you can shake your fist at, deny, or be belligerent toward God is an act of your free will, and it's a consequence of bearing his image. God in heaven and the angels in heaven and us as human beings have free will. We have to be reoriented in understanding that that free will must give God his rights. Everyone owes God. This is why it is so important for you to evangelize your unbelieving friends, your friends who have left the Catholic Church, your friends who don't believe in God. It doesn't matter if they believe in him, if they don't attend Mass. They owe him. It is his right by the sheer fact that he allows them to live, by the sheer fact that he allowed them to exist in the first place. Hell hangs over their heads, whether they believe it or not, because they bear his image. And what's really weird about this is they know it. They might deny it, but they know it. Caesar's image is de facto on this coin, this little piece of circular metal. If you find a coin from the first century that's got Caesar's picture on it, it's worth a tremendous amount of money. Why? Because there are so very, very few of them now. There were a lot of them back in those days. They're expensive now because they're not around anymore. They're not around. Caesar's not around. It's fleeting. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Render unto Caesar that pittance, that stuff that has his picture on it. But guess what? Your eternal soul is mine. You are mine. Caesar's image is pressed on a piece of metal. God's image is pressed on all humanity. every single one of them. And he demands his rights. Caesar has a right to get some of his little circular pieces of metal back. Fine. What rights does God have? God has a right to religious homage. And religious homage not of your own making. Not what you think is right or wrong in your approach to God. Not you and your Bible. Not you and the Holy Spirit. But what God has demanded of you in its totality. Not I like this, I don't like that, spiritual salad bar. No. What he demands. It is his right to your religious homage, the way he wants to be worshipped. He has a right to divine worship. It is his due. Everything he gives us, from taking in every breath to the roof you have over your head, to the job that you have. You might hate it, but it's a job. It puts food on the table. You were looking for one when you found that one. Find another. All right? But he in his mercy has given you a job. He has a right to divine worship and thanksgiving for it. Kind of crushing to think that we live in a day and age where we try to whittle down divine worship. Let's see how fewer things we can do in the Mass. Let's see what people like more in the Mass. It's not people's. I hear relatively regularly, you have to take into consideration people's time when you celebrate Mass. No, I don't. No, I do not. When you're in here, it's not your time. It's God's time. The last time I read it said, keep the Sabbath day holy, not his hour, not his 40 minutes, all day. But Mass runs a little long. Don't bother me with looking at your watch. I don't care. There's a lot out there that do, not me. It's God's time. It's not ours. He has a right to your soul. He has a right for you to do everything in your life in accord with what he says. Everything. You are his. He made you. That's all there is to it. He allows you to exist. We need to start approaching him like that. We need to understand him like that. That's our Lord Jesus Christ's reorientation. This is not about stuff in this world. It's about what you owe God. Little piece of metal with somebody's picture on it. God's picture is on you. Surrender to Caesar that little circular piece of metal, but render to God that which is his, and that's your very being. Render therefore to God the things that are God's. It doesn't have anything to do with paying tithes and taxes. It has to do with the image of God that is impressed upon each and every one of us, and he demands his right for us to act accordingly. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.